Good evening and welcome to the Raucous Caucus. We are live from WPFW Studios. We're not at Ben's this week, but we will be there next week for those of you that like to watch us live at 1213 U Street, right next door to Ben's Chili Bowl is Ben's next door. We will be there hopefully with a very special guest. It's not 100% confirmed yet.
Santa Claus?
So I don't want to say the name of the guest because I want to make sure it's confirmed.
I guess it's not Santa Claus.
But I do hope that a bunch of you will join, hopefully a member of Congress. But
is the same as Santa Claus.
This is one of the few good ones. One of the few good ones. But I don't want to announce the name until I'm 100% sure.
One of the elves, I know.
I am Mark Levine. I am here sitting with
Garland Nixon
and
Terry D. Kester.
And we are the Raucous Caucus, and we have a lot to be raucous about.
Amen.
I'm going to start the show by saying something that may surprise a number of our regular listeners. Regular listeners know that generally when we're talking about the Democratic Party, generally when we're talking about President Obama, all three of us want the same goals, but there's usually some disagreement. Terry is usually the one arguing for the strict idealistic position, saying we should do only what is absolutely what we should do. We shouldn't compromise one iota.
I didn't say that.
Not in those exact words.
This is my impression of what you say, Terry.
How do you spell compromise?
I don't think you know how. I'll give you a chance to say what you want in a minute. Okay. I'm coming around to your view, Terry. Be nice to me.
Okay.
But usually it's Garland and me, and we're the ones that are saying, hey, look, you know, President Obama doesn't have 60 votes in the Senate, not all 60 progressives, that he's doing the best he can. Well, I got to tell you, and I don't know where Garland is today. I'm going
to
give both Garland and Terry a chance to
respond.
Yeah,
I was about to say.
I don't know where you are politically, but I got to say, and it's the first time I've expressed this on the air, I am disappointed with our president.
Hooray, Mark!
I am disappointed with President Obama. I'm disappointed with the Democratic Party, and my disappointment stems from the tax compromise that President Obama is putting forward. Now, I'll be the first to say there's a lot of good in that bill.
No, there isn't.
Yes, there is. Let's talk about what's good. 2% payroll tax cut.
Figure that out. Just figure that out right there. For $70,000 making person, that's $1,400. Whoopee. For a guy who makes it $1 billion, that's $20 million.
No, it isn't, Terry, because there's a cap on payroll taxes at $100,000. So it doesn't affect the billionaire. So I like the 2% payroll tax cut. I like the there's stuff for student loans. There's earned income credits. There's unemployment insurance extended for 13 months. There are good things in this bill. But there's two things in this bill that I find, well, unacceptable, and that they won't surprise either of you. One is the two-year extended tax cut for the mega millionaires, the people who earn a million a year. And the other thing is estate tax, the idea that the first $10 million from a couple, that people who haven't worked for a living and are trying to just sit around, do nothing, and happen to have a rich great-great-grandfather, whatever it is, that they don't have to pay 55% anymore. They only have to pay 35%.
The richer you are, the better off you are.
Of course. Now, what's interesting is that both bills affect approximately the same percentage of the American population. Only 0.1% of the American population earns more than $1 million a year. It's about 300,000 families out of 300 million Americans. And only 0.1%, the same percentage, is lucky enough, lucky is a weird word, to have someone die, a couple die, and be able to give them $5 million apiece or $10 million plus. So basically what the Republicans insisted on is that unless you give these tax cuts to 0.1%, one in 1,000 Americans, 99.9% of us have to suffer. Now, my view is that President Obama could have stood a little firm. This was a game of legislative chicken, as I said to Bill O'Reilly tonight, actually. You can watch that at some point. But that this is a game of legislative chicken, and I wish that President Obama hadn't swerved right at the outset of the game. Let him head toward the car. Let the Republicans, let the Americans know that the Republicans care more about 0.1% of us than 99.9% of us. I argued that before the election, the Democrats should have taken a vote on this. They didn't.
Right.
And I'm very disappointed in their caving. Go ahead, Garland. Are you going to defend the president?
No, I'm not. I'm not going to defend anybody. Because there are a lot of things I agree with. I haven't been very disappointed with the president and over the course. I'm disappointed with this whole thing, but I haven't been very disappointed with the president because generally when you're disappointed, it means you had some expectations that weren't met.
That's the definition of his election promises.
No, wait, I'm saying up to this point. And,
well, up to this point, right. I didn't complain.
Yeah, and
Terry
up to this
did.
Point, I had said, I continually said, you know what? I expect him to do some things that I'm not going to like and do some things that I would like, as with anybody. Now, I think this the problem I have with this, in reality, you do have to extend the unemployment benefits. You know, you're going to have to do that. You might have to make some concessions. True. Again, the problem I have with it is similar to the one that you have, and that is if you're going to be chicken, if you're going to play chicken with somebody, so they're playing chicken, don't, as soon as they announce that it's a game of chicken, say, I give. You know, okay, we're going to play a chicken. I give. Yeah. You don't even let
by the way,
saying it's a game of chicken.
I assume that everyone knows what chicken is. For those few of you listening to the radio who don't know what a game of chicken is, it's when two people in cars drive toward each other as fast as possible, and the one that swerves, quote, loses, unquote. Of course, if they hit each other, then both lose and die.
That's how we all spent our youth.
Yeah,
right?
And the metaphor.
The game of chicken, just so we're clear here, what I'm saying is the game of chicken would be raising taxes on everybody, which is what would happen January 1st if the parties didn't come to an agreement. And what I'm saying is Republicans said we won't compromise, and Obama said, okay, I will.
Right, and the other part being unemployment benefits being cut off for millions of people.
2 million people.
Yeah, you know, and going out in the cold, etc. So I understand you have to do something to get that done, and you may have to give. But I'm with you. I just think, if nothing else, it looks bad after everything that's happened, particularly with your base saying, look, you don't fight enough for us. The base has continually said, look, we understand if you lose, as long as you fight for us and you lose a fight that you don't say, you know, uncle before the fight starts. And it's started doing that again, giving up before there's even a fight. And
all right, Terry, I can see you're itching to just scream into this microphone. You go right ahead.
I think we're going to sing in unison for a night, for a change. Don't you, Terry?
I'm trying to be calm. You know, I really am.
Why is that fire coming out of your ears then?
Because I was listening to some other things on the radio on the way in. You put all this together. It's not just this issue. This issue is so important for a number of reasons. One, he betrayed the Democratic Party, and that's the word I would use. I mean, I can't imagine us being a congressman, a House member, a senator, or anything else, and fighting for the things they've been fighting for, including this, you know, getting rid of the top 1%, getting this tax break. And behind their backs, essentially, he's negotiating with the Republicans and caves entirely, leaving the Democrat Party and the Democratic congressmen and senators standing out there going, what? I mean, that is unheard of for a president to do. I don't know of another case in history, I'm sure there are some, but I don't know of another case in history where he just ignored his party, ignored what he has pledged, what he has striven for, and just betrayed them. That's number one. You add that to all the other things. For instance, what's going on in Cancun right now with the climate control in the United States is just sitting around on its butt. Everybody else is taking some energetic steps, and our United States is just sitting around, oh, who cares? We don't care about climate change. You add that to simple things like I just read today that the Obama administration is going around Endangered Species Act, caving again to industrial efforts, to moneyed efforts, you know, to now take grizzly bears and wolves off the Endangered Species Act. He's caving to the moneyed interest in so many ways that, as far as I'm concerned, and I called the White House today, I called Vice President Biden's office, I called Harry Reid's office, and I suggest that our listeners do the same, and say, you have betrayed us. You, President Obama, have betrayed the American public. You have betrayed the whole idea of income inequality is the most important social problem in this country. Without question, you study any sociologist, almost any economist, and they will tell you the same thing. It is the most extreme problem we face. And he has caved and rewarded the wealthy while essentially giving cheese to the rest.
Let me ask Mark, can I throw a question
sure,
out there
right
to you,
ahead.
Mark? Okay. You worked on the Hill.
I did. 3 years.
Do you think that this was President Obama doing this on his own, or do you think that this was I tend to think this, so you tell me. Do you think that this were the people who hold power in the Democratic Party, the heads of the party getting together saying, let's do this, or do you think it was President Obama on his own doing it?
I do think there's a group of Blue Dog Democrats, frankly, whose ranks have been halved from the recent election. I'm sure they supported this. But the blue dogs, you know, this Congress, their caucus is about 40 out of 230, so about 1/6 of the Democratic Party. Now they're going to go down to maybe 1/10.
Well, I'm talking about Reid, Pelosi, et cetera.
No, I think this took Pelosi by surprise. If you've listened to what she said, and frankly, Reid too, although Pelosi has always been a stronger voice than Harry Reid. That's one reason why I like Nancy Pelosi. If you listen to her, she's going to try to whip up people against it, and I think she should, and I would encourage the House Democrats to vote against this bill. And the reason they should vote against this bill is not because there won't probably be some compromise down the road, but you can get a better deal if you play hardball. Let's play the game of chicken a little bit longer. Maybe we can at least take that estate tax and get rid of this gift to I mean, what is an estate tax? An estate tax is a gift from the American people to lower the estate tax from extremely rich heirs who haven't even worked for a living. You know, it's one thing, Bill Gates, billionaire, okay, at least he earned his billions. These are people who've done nothing. This is Paris Hilton.
Old money.
This is right. My grandpa made a lot of money, or my great-great-grandfather owned slaves, mistreated them, became
a robber baron.
and I get the money because of that. There is no excuse for that. Once you get 7 million or 10 million from a couple, that should be enough to live on for a while. I don't think that we believe in nobility, this idea that they had in England where the earls and the dukes and the nobles pass on from generation to generation and the landed gentry never has
to
work.
We don't believe it, this but is we not, practice it.
We're not supposed to be a monarchy anymore. I'm just saying.
And here's another thing I'll say. You know, there's a talk, of course, always about what's going to happen in 2012. And, you know, 2 years is an eternity in politics. God only knows the terrorist attack. Who knows what could happen? You know, the moon could blow up. I don't know. Things can happen. But if, you know, I looked at it, and when it comes to 2012, I think here's the worry with the Democrats. The President Obama is, you know, trying to be the president of the independents. You know, he's trying to be, you know, stay in the middle, reach to the middle.
Yeah,
and you ever heard the term the myth of the middle? Mm-hmm. And the myth of the middle is basically this. If one person has one view on one side and the other person has another view on the other side, then the middle must be the right answer. Well, there are times when that is true, but there are times when it is a major myth. And it appears to me that President Obama has the myth of the middle, or operates that anytime there's two views on either side, that whatever is in the middle must be the problem. And here's the problem. I'm going to wrap up. Here's the problem I have. In 2012, you can reach out, and the Republicans understand this very well. You can reach out for the middle, and it's great to have the middle, and you want to have the middle. But you got to have your base first.
That's right.
Firstly, you have your base, number one.
And then you reach out
to the middle. After the taking a beating, and he's not the first person to take a beating, you know, a president in the midterms. It happened to President Clinton. It happened to President Bush. It happens in the midterms.
President Reagan.
But generally what happens is this. When you take a beating as a president in any way, shape, or form, the first thing you do is you galvanize your base, you rally the troops, you reach out for the progressives, you throw some red meat to them, and you galvanize your base, and then you can start, you've got some power, and you start reaching out. I think what President Obama has done, which has been very unfortunate, he's done it backwards. He's continually reached out to the middle, and he's infuriated his base.
I'll tell you.
If the Democrats take a beating in 2012, I don't think it'll be because of the independents or because of the right. I think it'll be because their base stays home.
Well, that's what happened in this election. If you look at the polls, the polls show that about an equal number of voters supported Democratic programs and Republican programs.
Right.
But Republicans came out to vote and the Democrats stayed home.
Terry. And the independents, I mean, he's running on trying to win the independents. I mean, that really is bottom-up leadership. And it's absurd. That is not the way leadership works, be it a corporation, be it WPFW, be it any other place. You can't have, yes, you've got to have some kind of consensus and you've got to get some kind of input from everybody, but you cannot have bottom-up leadership. And that's what he's doing. He's committing, I'll put it in Katrina Van Den Heuvel.
Van Den Heuvel.
That was a great article, by the way. Today's Washington Post. I recommend it to everybody.
Her comment is, this is political self-immolation. And it really is. Politically, this not only is this wrong is socially, not only is this wrong in terms of dealing with Congress and the Democratic Party and his base, it is wrong politically.
Right.
There is no way he's going to recover from this because he has retreated so many times before, and he's in the process of retreating so many times now.
I would like to,
and by all of that retreat, you have a man that cannot, and not by me, cannot be respected by the electorate.
I would like to remind President Obama and the Democratic Party of some eternal truths, at least of the last 40 years or so in America. 45% are not going to support you no matter what you do.
That's right.
And 45% are pretty much going to be with you no matter what you do. Yep. President Obama's approval rating right now is 47%.
Was.
Even after the election, right
no,
now.
No, I know, but I mean right. Before two days ago.
The amount of people that voted for John McCain in the Obama landslide, 47%. So the middle in America is tiny.
Yeah.
We're talking less than 10% here. And to throw away 47% to try to get 6% I think it's political suicide.
Yep.
I do want to encourage people to call in and tell us if you've been disappointed with President Obama, if you've been disappointed with the Democratic Party, and what you think the president and the Democratic Party can do to fix the situation. I mean, let's face it. I mean, let's give the truth about the hard truth Obama faced, which was the Republicans said that we will raise taxes on everybody unless you give this gift to the mega millionaires and billionaires. Do you think he should have fought them, even if it meant that everyone's taxes are going to go up? Or do you think he made a wise political decision to give in to the Republicans? Let me just give out the number, 202-588-0893, 202-588-0893.
If he had any guts at all, and I mean that, where he should have battled here and what he should have said is, look, we are in tough times in America. Let's face it. Let's not dick around anymore. This is bad times economically. The deficit is bad. Our credit around the world is falling. Our political input around the world is falling. There's one solution to this. Yes, we got to decrease cost, but the other thing we have to do is we have to sacrifice Americans. Every single one of us has to sacrifice. We've got to raise taxes. Period.
Yeah, worked really well for Carter and Mondale.
Either he's got guts or
he doesn't. I don't think the American people are gonna.
Terry, let me say this.
If they don't, then the American people deserve the chaos.
Well, maybe we do.
And I'll say this. In one way, I agree with what Terry is saying, and I said this on Fox. If in fact we are serious about addressing the debt, then we need to let them all go. But the reality is, we're not serious.
We're not serious about addressing the debt.
Let's not fool ourselves into thinking we're real. But if we were, we'd have to do that, wouldn't we? That would be the only option.
Here's how an American addresses the debt. And I don't care whether that American is a Democrat or Republican, a Tea Party activist on the far left or the far right. Here's how an American addresses the debt. Our debt is way too high. I want to cut all these programs I don't like, and all I want to keep is the programs I like. The left says cut defense because we don't like spending money, wasting money on wars. The Republicans say cut unemployment because we don't like poor people. We want them to suffer.
Right.
Democrats say we don't want to give money to the rich. Farmers want to keep their money, but not everybody else. Doctors want to keep their money, but not everybody else. Everybody wants the money that they want. Nobody wants the money that somebody else gets, which shows that nobody is serious about
it. And
the
then
deficit.
We all kind of get what we do deserve, don't we? Ultimately.
We will.
And that's a fact of life.
And we are moving towards, if you just read any good economists are, we are moving towards economic chaos. It's going to make what's happened in the last few years look like a party.
And it comes down, the whole thing with President Obama, it's a pattern. It's just a pattern to the point where we know this is the way he does business.
Yeah.
And that is, when there is an issue, all legislators think like this, and we understand that. Here's the way they think: what can I get through? We understand they think that.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But there's some games you have to play before that. You gotta look tough. You gotta fight.
Yeah.
And people don't mind you losing if you lose a fight. They don't like you losing a surrender.
Let me remind
people. That's what we deal with, a surrender.
When the Speaker-elect, John Boehner, the minority leader in September, was asked and pushed, by the way, by, I believe it was, who's that guy at CBS? Bob Schieffer, I think it was. Did a terrific job, pushed him, and said, are you really going to allow all the middle class to have their taxes raised just because millionaires don't get a tax cut? He actually backed down and said, well, if I had to, I'd have to do that. Then, of course, the Republicans beat him up and said, of course, you didn't mean that, and so forth.
But he would have had to do it.
That was a signal.
Yep.
And I'm a big fan of Speaker Pelosi. I have been all along. But it was a huge mistake. Are you listening to me, Nancy Pelosi? Mm-hmm. It was a huge mistake in September before the election not to have the vote they had last week. The vote that said, we're going to cut everybody's taxes but those that earn a million a year. That's a vote that I would have been proud to see the Democrats go for an election on, because the dirty little secret is, according to the Gallup polls, it's popular.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh,
yes.
More than 60% of Americans want to extend all tax cuts.
That's the real thing.
To millionaires.
You really hit on it, and Garland's alluded to it. What it comes down to now, if you're a Democrat or if you're even a progressive, you cannot feel proud or pleased in any path that this government is taking. You simply can't.
No.
And therefore, you're not going to vote. People
well, I'm
going to
vote. But
I'm
going to
vote.
A lot of people were turned off from voting.
Yeah, it's what you're saying. I'm going to vote because I look at politics and I say, look, you know, the alternative is worse. So I'm always going to vote. However, there are a lot of people that aren't going to be motivated.
Yeah.
People aren't going to go knock on doors. They're not going to get to do phone banks. They're not. It's not. Some of them may
I
vote.
I hate to admit,
not,
I knocked on a lot more doors in 2008 than I did in 2010.
Well, yeah.
And I'm a committed activist.
I worked for Obama, but I would not do it again at this point. I would not do it.
You know what will happen? With me, it'll be like this. I'll vote against the Republicans.
Oh,
I'm always going to vote against the Republicans.
For Obama's re-election.
But
that's
the motivation to go out and because you feel like there's something there that you're really going to get.
Right. And there's so many things, and I'm going to get to our listeners in just a minute. But, of course, it's not just the tax cut. It's health care. He gave up on the idea of Medicare for all, the single payer.
Yeah.
And then he gave up on public option. And he gave it all up and still didn't get any Republican votes.
And you know
votes.
Something, Mark? If he can lose me.
Exactly.
if he can lose either one of you guys.
Look at Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
It takes some hard work to lose me.
Look at Don't Ask, Don't Tell. He promised. And they keep getting... And by the way, this, I'm not mad at Obama. I'm mad, and by the way, I called his office today, and I said I would call him out in the air. Senator Jim Webb of Virginia.
Oh, yeah. For shame. I worked for him.
Yep. I worked to elect him.
Yep.
I voted for him in the primary.
Yep. You and me
I
both.
Talked with him. Yep. Senator Warner, you're standing firm. Thank you for that. Yep. Senator Webb, you have betrayed... The idea of civil rights in America, and you still have time to change your mind. You got about 2 weeks.
He's changing his mind. He's going to go Republican.
But I want every single person in Virginia.
Maybe Obama's going to go Republican.
I want every single person in Virginia. Here's my voice to call Senator Webb's office and let him know that you are against rank bigotry, and I really hope you do that.
And so the bigger issues, the economy and this stupid tax bill. You got to call.
All right. 202-588-0893. Lisa, welcome to the show.
Hello, how you doing?
I'm okay.
Hi, Lisa.
Are you disappointed with the president? What are your thoughts?
Seriously disappointed. And I'm at the point now, is there anybody else out there who can run against him that would be for the people?
Hillary, maybe.
But that ain't going to happen.
She's not going to run.
No, not Hillary.
I don't think anyone...
I'll tell you this. I don't think that... Whenever you've had a president run with a primary challenger, that president has lost in the general election. That's been the case for 30 years. I'd rather, instead of focusing on opposition to Obama, I'd rather, Lisa, you go and you call the White House and you call your member of Congress and let them know how you feel. I mean, I think that's just a more effective way to get your voices heard.
They haven't paid attention so far. You know, I think there's... Lisa, go ahead, please.
Go ahead.
Right now, I am so disappointed in his behavior. He behaves like an abused wife. The Senate is abusing him, and he's standing up, taking it, and still coming back for more. I can't understand that.
Neither.
And it's not helping us. When you look at this country and see how people are suffering for the bare necessities of life.
Yeah, I know.
And you do crap like this, something is wrong there.
And most people don't even realize, Lisa, part of this 2% payroll cut is going to be directly from Social Security.
Well, no. According to the plan, Terry,
right here in the Washington Post, you're calling the Washington Post liars?
No. What the Washington Post said was, and I read that article, that the money that's coming out of Social Security would be refunded from the general fund.
But we don't have enough money in the general fund.
That's a whole other story. The whole thing is borrowed from China, Terry. That's certainly true,
but I do support money going from the general fund into Social Security and let the general fund fight on its own. I just don't want Social Security to be cut.
Well, that's what will happen.
Well, I will fight it.
I mean, we've fought and we've stood up for every progressive idea there is, and Obama has caved on every progressive idea there is. Every single one.
I'll
put it like this. He's caved very early on some major ones.
Which makes him look weak at the moment.
And it makes it look like they can the Republicans get anything they want.
And I'm a firm believer in this, because I've seen it time and time again. People do not get mad at politicians who fight and lose a battle.
Absolutely.
At the last minute, they make a deal, but they fight tooth and nail until they can't get any. You know why? Because they get at least a little more than they would have gotten before.
Yeah. We want to see the fight
but
in
Obama. But you get nothing when you give up
first.
Where is he?
Still, where's the guy in the campaign?
I remember him. Still behind
where's
this?
The Chicago fighting meme?
There you go.
More than anything else, we're going to get to Betty right here, but, it's still the idea of going behind his own party. I don't even begin to understand what the motivation is.
That's why this one bothers me more than most. Yeah. All right, let's go to Betty. Betty, welcome to the Raucous Caucus.
Yes, hi.
Hi, Betty.
I don't know if we're 10 or 15% of the population because nobody talks to us, but we're the people who are not disappointed because we didn't expect anything from this fellow in the first place.
Ooh.
I just want to say, as an ex-Democrat, we had a black American congressman from Texas named Mickey Leland who died in a plane crash, mysterious plane crash, taking food to starving people in Ethiopia in 1989. Democrats don't even talk about him anymore. In 1996, Ron Brown, who got Bill Clinton elected, he dies in a terrible plane crash in Croatia. Then the Democratic Party disgraces Cynthia McKinney. I voted for Cynthia McKinney, the Green Party. I say build the Green Party in 2012. Don't stay home. Vote Green. Thank you.
Well, right, Betty, I appreciate your point of view. I got to say, with due respect, I disagree with it. I'm not happy, and I began this show saying how unhappy I am with President Obama. But I do think that when you split the vote, when you vote Green, I think it. I would argue that support Cynthia McKinney or Dennis Kucinich or someone to reform the Democratic Party,
right,
rather than a third party which will just.
But
the bigger issue is
it's not working from top to bottom, and Obama is proving that it's not working from top to bottom. I quote here from conservative Senator George Voinovich, who's leaving Congress. He's retired, and he says, this is a quote from him. I'm not saying this. He says, I think we have to blow up the place. This is from the senator.
I read this today.
And he's retiring primarily. He says right here, he has gotten out of the fundraising thing because he's not running for office next time. He's able to be a senator for 2 years.
And he's against the tax cuts.
He said
the Democrats want $3 trillion in deficit. The Republicans want $4 trillion in deficit.
Yeah.
At least Voinovich understands that as bad as the Democrats are with spending, the Republicans are worse. Don't let them ever argue again
that they want to
cut the deficit.
And if you look at everything that's going on, I mean, I can't say it on the air. Overthrow the government? I can't say that. Revolution? I can't say that. We better do something. We better get to the streets because we are being shafted.
Let me go to Steve. Steve, welcome to the show.
Yeah, hi. Thanks. When this came out today, I was pissed off just like you guys are right now. But I saw a silver lining today.
I get the
Campaign for Liberty email list, and they were talking about being betrayed by Republicans.
I don't know who they are. Tell me who they are, Steve.
They're Ron Paul's group.
Okay.
Oh. Kind of Tea Party-esque people.
All right. Why are they betrayed?
They're libertarian.
They're betrayed because of all the excess deficit? Because I thought the Tea Party would
love this. No, I think it's because they made a deal with Obama.
Oh, yeah. Even if he gives you what you want,
that's still not good enough.
You still don't make a deal with him. That's their point. And how sick is that?
It's very hard to even wrap my mind around that. Wow.
You don't even take what you want because it's a deal from him. Oh, that's pretty pathetic.
That sort of works in our favor in a way.
Well,
it could if he would use it as leverage. It could, but he's not using it as leverage.
We still have 2 years to get this to work.
That's true.
And he's doing strategically is like backing up Boehner when he's going to piss off the Tea Party and backing up the Tea Party or putting a roadblock in there just like the Tea Party would when it's to our advantage.
I hear you, Steve.
If he can get that down.
I hear you, Steve. I'll tell you. Look, I've been arguing for 2 years that we needed a bigger stimulus package than we had. This is a stimulus package, but the idea that we had to give this wrapped-up gift to mega millionaires and billionaires just to get it doesn't make any
sickening.
Sense. We're going to be back with more of your calls at 202-588-0893. More of the Raucous Caucus right after this.
WPFW, Washington.
Welcome back to the Raucous Caucus. This is Mark Levy sitting here with Garland Nixon and Terry D.
You know what's his name?
Garland Nixon fell out of his chair. He'll
lines,
be right with
the
us.
The lines are busy tonight. You may have trouble getting in, but you can keep
Garland's
trying.
Garland's throwing equipment around the studio. 202-588-0893.
Garland, before we get to Wayne, why don't you say what you were saying in the break? You were talking about infuriating the president's base.
I'm putting my headphones back together over here, Mark. You'll have to.
All right. I'll tell you
I flew
what.
Into a rage and I started throwing equipment around.
He did.
And
it was. And Garland, you got to say, he's the most mild mannered guy around.
That's Terry's job.
That's usually Terry's job to throw
headsets.
A rage.
I'll throw them
if Garland's
yeah.
throwing a rage, that shows tremendous disappointment.
Angst.
Let's go to Wayne. Maybe someone will defend the president. I don't know if Wayne will. Go ahead, Wayne.
Thank y'all at WPFW because I enjoyed the show.
Thank you.
Thanks, Wayne.
He had five things he had to deal with: economics, education, health, housing, and justice. He took the economics. They did a stimulus. They gave the money to the banks instead of letting them fail and letting them crash and federalize them. But that's okay. We forgave him for that. Then he didn't do anything for education. Let's look at health. The health situation. He took the same proposal that Nixon put out there, and if you've been old enough to remember Nixon, he put the same crap out there Obama used in this one. Let's look at housing. We have 10,000 people living on the street, 25 hours a day in Washington, D.C. You're not doing anything for housing. And let's look at justice. The only thing they can lock up is this WikiLeaks cat. So all Obama's going to do is go down in history, because eventually, if he runs again, we're going to have to confront him. And the question I'm going to ask him is, you know, you're going to make history because you became the greatest Democrat ever to become a Republican in the middle of your presidency in the history of this country. And I'm going to look up. I'm going to go back and see if any other Democrats became switch parties in the middle of the road while they were sitting president and became Republican. Thank you.
Go Wayne.
Well,
go Wayne.
I hear your anger.
Yeah.
I haven't even
mentioned Afghanistan.
We haven't even gotten into the fact that the Guantanamo Bay
Guantanamo
is still
Bay.
Out there.
You know, one of the things that's interesting here, and that is that the president ran left. He ran as a progressive. He ran center left. And what was beautiful about it was he won in a landslide, which meant that the majority of America, when he put forth progressive policies in a way that people could understand them, people were in favor of them. So he ran to the center left. Everybody pretty much mandated, okay, move forward with center left policies, and he ran straight to the middle.
I'll tell you this.
Straight to the middle.
We know why. He hit the roadblock.
He hit the roadblock
of the Republican filibusters. And what I wish he'd done is taken a page out of Harry Truman. Truman lost Congress in his midterms in 1946.
And he fought.
He got the first
fought.
Republican Congress, frankly, since before Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
Right.
And they did nothing. You think this Congress is the party of no? The Harry Truman Congress is the party of no. And he ran against Congress.
Right.
And people started saying, give him hell, Harry. And he talked about a do-nothing Congress.
Right.
And lo and behold, to everybody's surprise,
he won re-election in
1948.
Since you pick up...
I wanted to see Obama tell the Republicans, he would say, oh, they're running their car into a ditch. Let's be specific. Let's make them filibuster. You listen to me, Harry Reid? Make them filibuster. Make them go 24 hours a day, all night long, into the weekend. Go over Christmas if you have to. Let them filibuster and say, we won't allow 99.9% of Americans to get a tax cut.
He's talking about a fight.
Unless the billionaires get a tax cut.
Mark is saying the Democratic Party should fight, Terry.
What an idea. What an idea. To give you just an example of the kind of leadership we need and the kind of leadership we don't have. You mentioned Harry Truman. Do you know that when he ran for president, not when he was, you know, after Roosevelt's death, but when he ran for president, he was traveling around the country campaigning on his train. You know, he had lost. The Republican Congress was in. The Democratic Party actually stopped paying the expenses of his campaign train.
Sure. And they had deserted him, too. The Dixiecrats went with Strom
and
Thurmond.
He had,
the liberals went with Henry Miller, I think.
Yeah, and he had the guts to stand up to his own party, to raise the money himself, and to run keep that campaign train going until he won. That's the kind of leadership we need.
A leader leads.
Give them help. People want somebody that's going to give them
help.
Right.
Harry,
but
yeah.
if you
do.
Even if you lose, I always say, even if you lose,
you go
people
down
want somebody
fighting.
That's going to come go
before?
Out swinging
you,
over and over.
You
okay.
go
Step
down
outside. We're
fighting.
Going
I don't want to lose.
Right. Let's hear what Mary has to say. Mary, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you all?
Oh,
we're good.
Fine.
Talk
Love
to
your show.
Thank you
for the opportunity.
Sure.
I think I'm going to give the president a break.
All right. First one tonight.
We gave Bush 8 years to screw up the country.
Yeah.
So we need to give this man, President Obama, this whole 4 years to straighten out this mess, to at least get it started to getting straightened out. I had to make a decision at the thinking that. Would I be happy if I was a person that was needing that unemployment benefits, which I don't right now?
Yeah.
But I'm a Social Security beneficiary.
Yeah.
And we don't need to have anything stopping right now. But at the same time, I would love to, for President Obama to get mad.
Yeah, me too.
And just speak from the heart. And why are we not in the streets? Why are we sitting down,
yes, right.
just
Thank you, Mary.
Talking and not doing anything?
Yes.
Because we need to act like we're mad as hell and not going to take it anymore.
Yep.
We can't do it just, you know, talking about
yeah,
it.
We're saying he's
go
not
here.
Look, we're saying he's
get
not
in the
mad.
President's face and say, look, we don't want this. There's no way in hell you're supposed to be giving the rich people anything. They need to ask what they can do for their country and help the little man stay in where he can get the country running again. And it's a real simple thing. And please put Medicare for all. That is the only thing that's going to bring down the insurance companies
Absolutely.
Right now
yeah.
because they're going to go back to business as usual.
They already
but
are.
But people need to stop and say, do I want to continue this or I want to be a sit-at-home person and say, go ahead, complain about it, but what are you going to do? We need to be going on strike right now. We need to be
yes.
in the streets with signs with our fists up in the air saying, you need to stop.
Well, let me say this. I mean, from the perspective of blaming him for slamming the ship into an iceberg, no. Mm-hmm. I didn't expect him to come in and fix the mess, the Bush mess and the Bush economy. That would have been unreasonable.
In 2 years.
Right, in 2 years.
Right.
No.
I'm not
holding him responsible for that. But here's what I'm saying. What he is responsible for is his actions on a day-to-day basis, his political strategy
Correct.
And his tactics. That's what I have a problem. And I've been a big Obama supporter, but if you're doing something that you shouldn't be doing, I'm going to say you shouldn't be doing
right.
it. And not only that, I'm not just saying, well, I don't like you, Barack Obama. I'm saying what you're doing is detrimental to your party.
Yeah.
It's detrimental to your own presidency.
I agree.
It's detrimental to the American people.
Let me add that, Terry.
I think President Obama's values are in the right place.
Yeah.
I think what he wants to do is not that different from what we want to do. My complaint is not with what he wants to do. My complaint is the fact that he's caving what he wants
I don't
to
believe
do.
It. Exactly. I don't believe it.
He needs to keep the promise.
There was a columnist, I forget who it was, in the very beginning of Obama's presidency who pointed out, I think it was over the health care bill or maybe it was over carbon restrictions or whatever, and pointed out that President Obama, if you study his history, if you study who the man he is, he is not a man of principle. He's a man of practicality.
You can be of both.
Well, I know you can, but he is not. And if he were, he would be the leader we need. And
but
that's
we're have
the difference.
To turn him into the leader that we need right now because who's out here any better?
Well,
do you want
that's
Newt
the
Gingrich
problem.
In office right now?
Good
no,
old Newt?
No. I'm going to well, look, I'm probably going to vote
Democrat
for President Obama,
here,
but what
yes,
I want
that he has now are wimps.
I want him to hear our voice.
They're all wimpy.
Let me say this, because I'm planning on doing something. One of the things that I'm doing, and I'll say the name, there's an organization that's being put together. They've already got the domain name. It's going to be called the Chamber of Progress.
Chamber of Progress.
Yes.
Ooh, I like it.
Yes, Chamber of Progress.
Commerce.
And
what
I'm going to write that down.
Yes.
And I'm going to spread the word, because every chance
of,
I get, I just tell people, if everybody gets in that corner mood of wanting to sit down, you know, come out to 7-Eleven with your coffee and complaining, don't complain. Get on the phone.
We need our own team. Party.
Right
yeah.
now.
And there are some people, and there are some powerful people that are ready to support this, and there's some great people that are putting it together. And let me tell you what the plan for this organization is. This organization is going to do nothing but reach out to all the various progressive organizations and say, you know, we're running, our party is fractured. We're running in 10 different directions. Let's all come together on four or five items. Let's say it's healthcare, it's, you know, say five foundational items. Every one of these organizations who's in favor of that and anything to do with this items will all not go after the Republicans. We'll go to the Democratic Party and we'll say, you need to do what we want and you better do what we want because we've got 100 organizations with 10 million people.
Chamber
That's
of
what
Progress.
We need to do.
That is the best news, and I thank you for that, Garland. I have been involved with various organizations in this city for a long, long time, particularly in terms of poverty and economic issues. And the one thing we have found, and I can give you a perfect example, a conference on poverty in UDC a couple years back that I participated in. There were over 200 different progressive organizations there, and all they were doing was fighting for their piece of the pie.
I think it was.
They need to unify. They need to come together. Maybe this Chamber of Progress is the way.
They're going to have some town hall meetings they're setting up. Wouldn't it be great? Maybe we need to get the Raucous
Caucus.
Maybe we need to get the Raucous Caucus there.
Absolutely.
Maybe that's what we need to do. We need to get the Raucous Caucus there. And
our fans, if they'll ask us, we will go. We will go wherever it is to go.
We'll bring all our Raucous fans with us.
We will be plenty Raucous. You know what you're talking about, the Chamber of Progress, Garland, would remind reminds me of what Will Rogers once famously said. He said, "I'm not a member of any organized party. I'm a Democrat."
Yeah, right.
So we need to organize, and we need to get there and push pressure on our people
and force them to do what we deserve.
Which does mean now you've really got, you can't sit down now. You've got to be calling Senator Reid. You've got to be calling Nancy Pelosi and
call your
support.
Own senators and call your own member of Congress and let them know we want them to stand firm.
And
because
call
I'll
Vice President Biden because he's out there trying to negotiate.
Well, he's required to do that by President Obama.
I don't care.
I don't blame Biden for it. But here's the thing. If the House Democrats vote this one down, there's going to have to be a compromise.
Yep.
Let's play chicken a little while longer.
Yep.
And maybe, just maybe, we could save some money and put the money to the middle class and not to the super rich.
Amen.
I want to get to the next caller. By the way, it's 202-588-0893. The lines have been busy all the time since we got on the air.
Wow.
You may have trouble getting through, but we want to hear from as many of you as possible. And one thing I do want to take from what Mary said real quick, and that is when she talked about the people that are unemployed that needed their checks. Mm-hmm. I recognize it's a game of chicken. I don't pretend that it's easy for President Obama. The Republicans refuse to compromise. What I'm saying is that if he played the game a little bit longer and gone a little bit farther, I think the American public might well have turned against the Republicans instead of the Democrats. Look what happened when Newt Gingrich shut down Congress.
Yeah.
They thought that they blamed Bill Clinton back in 95. Instead, they blamed the Republicans.
Right.
So that's a lesson from history.
Yeah.
Let's go to Jeffrey. Jeffrey, welcome to the Raucous Caucus.
Hey, good evening, guys.
Hey,
good
Jeffrey.
Evening.
Hey, look, actually, you know, I got to say, you know, this adhesion to this two-party system is almost like, you know, a victim of battered wife. You know, he comes home every night and she gets beat up by him, but he loves me, and I can't leave him.
Yeah.
I understand you have an objection to a third party.
Not
but
me.
I'm going to tell you something. You get reamed every 4 years, by the same people. And yet you
go,
keep this
Jeffrey.
Eternal hope that, oh, well, they'll do better the next time.
Go, Jeffrey.
You know, they would do better if we could just only. No. What we need is a real alternative, like the Green Party or some other party, so that we have a more diversified say in what's going on. And I guarantee you, we will have a more responsible government. But when you got two parties that know that they've got 99% of the population locked down, no matter what they do, kick them off the chair, snatch their watermelons, slap their babies, and they will still come back and vote.
Right.
Why do you have to respect them at all?
And, well, you know, Jeffrey, let me ask you this.
We can do this and we can do that.
Why can't you, Jeffrey, they
would take anything.
Let me ask you this. Why can't you support a progressive candidate running in the Democratic Party for president or for member of Congress or something like that? And if they win, that'd be great.
When you get into that party, look, Mao Zedong understood when he tried to revamp China. It's like a spider web. You know, you had to blow the place up to build from scratch. You can't take what's already there.
You don't think Dennis Kucinich, for example?
You got a Democratic Party that has decades of building the type of formation that they have, where you've got graft, you've got cowardice, you have all sorts of things, and there is no way to change it. I mean, look at this so-called progressive candidate that just got elected president of the United States. I considered him
center left from the beginning.
Nothing from him. You could tell by his cabinet selection that he wasn't going to do anything different.
Well, Jeffrey obviously agrees with Senator Voinovich. You got to blow the place up. You know, and I don't mean that, but I mean, you know, he's exactly right, because you know as well as every other American knows that Congress is bought and paid for. 20-25% of their time now is spent fundraising. All of the
70%.
Oh yeah, really? When you
literally,
get down to reality, yeah,
literally.
Yeah. Right. All of the Tea Party candidates have got an office to change everything, just like the Democrats got in the office to change everything. Are already fundraising like crazy to pay off their campaign
and caving to the machine.
You know, and every one of us knows that no matter what the issue, it'll be Exxon giving to the Republican and Exxon giving to the Democrat.
They give a lot more to the Republican.
They give it to everybody, they're all sucking on the same tit, you know, and it's corporate America.
I think it's teat is the word you could say on air. Let me go to Rick.
Then they're sucking on the same teat.
That's what he did say. That's what he said. Mark, you heard it wrong.
Let's go to Rick. Rick, are you disappointed in the president and the Democrats?
Not any more than
just
I
the Raucous Caucus.
He picked Biden as his running mate.
I love Biden.
Yeah.
That Biden was a message that we will not have a straight anti-war ticket.
Biden won it out.
Gentlemen, my website is presidentbyamendment.com. Revolution is legal in the United States, and it's in Article 5 of the Constitution. It's a constitutional convention, and this is the exact time The founders put that in the Constitution for. The government is broken in all three branches. There are five fascists on the Supreme Court. Obama is a war mob wind-up toy, and Congress is a bunch of dysfunctional, blithering idiots.
How do you really think, Rick?
Don't hold back, Rick. Don't hold back.
Excuse me?
Don't hold back.
I'm the guy that doesn't hold back.
Oh, that's clear.
Hello again to Garland. I met you at a John Conyers meeting at the DCCC, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'll tell you, Rick, thank you for your call.
So you're calling for a constitutional convention, Rick.
Excuse me?
You're calling for a constitutional convention.
I have been for 5 years.
Tea Party is as well, and, you know, I think you're right. No matter what comes out of it, I think you're absolutely right. I've been calling for the same thing, Rick, for years.
I got to tell you.
You're all invited to run against me.
Okay.
Okay. I'll tell you, thank you for your call, Rick. My concern with what Rick is saying is that I don't think the American people, who, after all, if there's a constitutional convention, they've got to be for it. I think the American people are not supporting enough progressive ideals, at least not. I mean, they voted for Obama, 53%. If we move significantly to the left, you got the Tea Party moving to the right. I think a lot of the American people just want to they want to work in economy. They want to go home. They want their kids to have an education. They want to be able to make some money at their jobs. You know, rather than restructuring the entire system, I don't think you're going to get 51% for that. I got to tell you.
But you still ought to try, because again, just like Garland was saying, if you fight for a constitutional convention, if enough people, progressives and or Tea Parties, doesn't
what
make
will you get?
If
well, they, you know, what not, do we agree with
ahead,
the Tea Party
no,
on?
No. The point
what's
is,
what's going to happen at
listen,
that convention?
That's the point. If you fought for it, that would be, and if it had any momentum at all, that would be such a huge message.
What would it do?
It might cause a few Republicans or a few Democrats to actually act on principle for the betterment of the American people.
I agree with Terry. I think it would scare. It would definitely scare and send some kind of ripples in the system.
What
it would do,
you've
I don't
got
know.
The truth is, if you're going to get change at all, you have to, in fact, threaten.
The American people have to threaten. I agree with you there.
We're going to go back to your calls, but let me say something real quick, and that's a mention of the Tea Party. One thing the Tea Party represents, and that is, in reality, a split in the Republican Party based on socioeconomic class.
That's true.
The Tea Party are the working class and the working poor of the Republican Party, and they've turned
and
on the
middle
powerful.
Class too. Middle
yeah,
class
well, I'm saying,
too.
That's what I'm saying, the working class. I consider the middle class the working class.
Right. Okay.
The working class, the middle class, and the working poor, et cetera, who have turned on the elites. They're
but Garland,
upset.
So I haven't the, heard no, a lot what, of Tea Party what, complaints
but here's
about,
what I have to
about
say.
This deal.
But here's
I
what
haven't.
I have to say. They have a major split down the middle. It appears that we're moving in the direction that the Democratic Party is going to have some kind of a similar split. It's going to happen because people are really freaking out. And anytime you get upset, Garland, Nixon, and the Democratic Party, you can upset a lot of people.
That's
and it's
true.
What would be interesting is the natural course of things were that the two parties, that ultimately what happened is the very wealthy, powerful, elite leadership here upsets everyone so much that they kind of split themselves between the working class and the kind of even the pragmatic class in both in the Democratic Party, and we see a split, not fractured in different directions, but a split in both parties.
Okay,
here's the Tea Party type split. Here's the future
of the Democratic Party. Listen carefully.
I think Darren just ripped the party to shreds.
But you know what? I think there's a difference. Here you have the Tea Party, and they are mostly working class people.
Yeah.
But what are they doing? They support giving away, printing money, and giving it to rich people.
Yeah, yeah.
They support increasing our national debt by $100 billion and giving it to rich people. So does Obama.
But they're blindly.
Obama doesn't support it. He caved into it. There's a difference.
How do you explain that difference to your friend, to your families, to your
I don't like it.
You know, if you went and betrayed those to that level, how would you sit down with a companion, a colleague, any one of us, the three of us here? How would you sit down and explain that? Oh, I just did it because I felt I had to.
That's what he said.
I think the Tea Party, don't get me wrong, the Tea Party is terribly politically misguided and probably politically naive.
They're a bunch of poor white people who are supporting rich white people.
But what I'm saying is what they represent a split in the party,
you know,
right down socioeconomic class. And only thing I'm saying is the same type of thing can, and now don't get me started on the Tea Party because I'll freak out.
Okay, I don't want to get off topic.
Let's go back to Darren. But I'm saying the same thing can happen in the Democrat and may very well happen.
It's happening.
On.
All right. Yeah. Darren's been holding on a long time. Darren, welcome to the Raucous Caucus.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys.
Sure.
You bet.
I'm in support of the president.
Uh-oh.
That's okay.
And, okay.
What?
And I'm going to give you a couple points in the way that I see it.
Okay.
Okay. One, President Bush messed this up from the beginning.
True.
He got a bad hand to go with. It's only been 2 years.
True.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of us that went out and voted him in to the presidency, we didn't go back to vote. We let the Republicans take over.
That's true.
That's true.
That's true.
And now we didn't go back to vote because we didn't have time. We had other things to do. He can't do anything without voters. He can't do anything without the support that we put him in to do what he wants. He got a lot of great ideas, but we all know none of them are going to come to pass without support.
Well, Darren, I think makes a good point. No, wait, hold on. Let's give Darren his due.
Point.
Darren making a good point. Obama wouldn't have had to cave if he had the support. Let me just say this. If the election had gone differently, if the Democrats had actually won seats or stayed the same, or frankly, even just lost a few seats, President Obama could have said the voters stood firm. They supported my agenda. Now, I do think the Democrats handled it wrongly. I think they should have had this big tax vote in September so it was very clearly before the American people. I think they handled the strategy, the tactics wrong. But Darren's right that if the American people had come out and supported the Democratic agenda, Obama wouldn't have felt the need
Let me just send you back to history, as we mentioned before. The American people did not initially support Harry Truman. Harry Truman did not cave. Let's take a lesson from history. Harry Truman stayed true to his principles and to what he ran on and what he believed in, and he changed the minds. Leadership has to come from the top down, not from the bottom up. Yes, the support needs to be there, but the support only solidifies if the leadership is there.
Right.
And that's where we're going.
And the other thing is, if the president, well, you know, if he had a supermajority in both houses, life would be very easy. But you got to play the hand that you're dealt. And I think what we're saying here is we're unhappy. We know he's dealt a bad hand, but we're unhappy with the way he's playing it.
That's right.
Yeah. Say, we're unhappy with the way he's playing it. Wow. He's dealt a bad hand, but we don't like the way he's playing it. He's playing it soft. He's throwing his hands in.
Let's see what Nat has to say.
Rolling snake eyes.
Nat, welcome to the Ruckus Coffee. You just mixed metaphors there.
Okay,
in other words, he folded. Instead of going all in, let's use the poker.
That's the first time we've mixed metaphors, isn't it?
Never
yeah,
before.
Yeah,
oh,
okay. Never
let's see what Nat has to say. Nat, welcome to the Ruckus Caucus.
Hey, thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Sure.
Look, I've been just sitting back listening and chuckling the entire time. I've been listening to this exchange because it just seems like to me that we Americans are gluttons for punishment.
You know what I mean? We love to complain, don't we?
Yeah, we really enjoy that because, let's be honest, we all, I think most educated and informed people understand that the president is not where the true power lies in all this, you know what I mean? The president is like, you know, he's the face that they put out there that kind of, you know, is used to keep the masses in check. But the sister who talked about getting out and going into the streets and protesting or whatever, the reason why people in America aren't protesting in the streets is because they understand that if they do start protesting the street, that they have death rays, you know, passive resistance weapons, they have rubber bullets. We live in a very, very repressive society now. It's not like it was back.
You're right.
The civil rights movement, they had a few things that they used, and people didn't stop marching, did they? They didn't stop marching.
My man, look,
yeah,
people in America understand that the biggest growth business right now in America is prisons. They are not building all these prisons for nothing. They're building these prisons to put people in them. And why do you think they're building these prisons? Because they know there will be no jobs. No jobs. These jobs. We've shed 8 million jobs in, what, the last 3 years?
Something like that.
Those jobs are not coming back.
Nope.
When you have people who can't work, can't feed themselves, they are going to start losing it. And when they start losing it, that's why the apparatus right now, everything is revolving around security. You can't get a job in the government unless you got a security clearance. And if you got bad credit, all these things can knock you off that security list. My man, what's coming? All you have to do is study history. Study what happened in Weimar, Germany, prior to the Nazis taking
over. That's what I fear.
That's all you
have
to do.
Bernie Sanders talks about all the time. Yeah. If you keep taking from poor people, middle class people, working people, take every last dime and dollar we have and hand it to the billionaires, they're going to have. I mean, that's what happened in the French Revolution. They're going
to.
I don't want to see America become like Mexico, where you have a few extremely rich people and a huge number of vast poor people. And
well, that is what we have.
You know what it's called, Ma? There's a word for that. There's a term for that, and I've been saying this for years. Feudalism.
At home.
Empire. Your foreign policy. Foreign policy. Empire. Right. Domestic policy. Feudalism. We're moving towards feudalism.
Let me go to one last caller. Okay. I want to give her a chance.
Gwen, quick. Yeah.
Gwen, welcome to the Raucous Caucus.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Gwen.
You really know how to rev up the energy.
Good. Or the dooms machine. Yeah. I'm not sure which.
Right. I have, for the last two presidential campaigns, felt that the only candidate that made any sense in terms of what we really needed in this country was Dennis Kucinich.
Hey, here.
But he doesn't get to first base. And I think that what it says to me is that the Democratic Party doesn't even acknowledge and support the principles that are really necessary for to move this country forward. I mean, they're okay about the country being in decline and about us losing our edge on every front as long as the rich keep getting richer.
And as long as they can stay in office.
We're going to implode. We're on the road to implosion. We just, we're weakening from within. And just like the last caller talked about all the things that are happening to destroy us on the inside, I agree with him. And I think that it's not possible without revolution. I don't think you can get someone like a Dennis Kucinich and change the Congress or the Democratic Party, because I think it's too deeply ingrained and there's no real support for what he stands for.
I appreciate your call, Gwen. I know that what you said goes down to every single thing that Terry believes.
Oh, you better believe it, Gwen. Meet me outside. We're going to dance.
I'm going to disagree with you some, because at the end of the day, I've worked with Democrats. I know many Democrats. I'll be the first to tell you, and indeed I began the show tonight talking about how the Democratic Party has disappointed me. President Obama's support has disappointed me. But let me say this. There are a lot of Democrats, and right now Nancy Pelosi is one of them. I mean, she's the leader of the Democrats in the House. I used to mention Russ Feingold. Unfortunately, he's no longer in office.
Right.
But there are Democrats out there that are fighting for progressive principles. I would argue, don't desert the Democratic Party. Make the Democratic Party more progressive.
And one other thing about Dennis Kucinich, see, part of it is we're morons in America. And let me just say.
I don't know that revolution.
Here's what I got to say. Warren Harding was an idiot. Warren Harding was an idiot, but he was a tall, good-looking, Roman-nosed, handsome. Yeah.
That's why they think John Thune's going to win.
Right, and he won because he was a good-looking idiot. Yeah. Dennis Kucinich is a short guy, and he's not, you know.
We need better-looking progressives. So we look at someone.
Oh, he doesn't look presidential.
It's all showbiz, guys. It's all showbiz, and that's the end of a democracy.
He looks like somebody I could drink a beer with. I'll vote for him.
Speaking of showbiz, we're going to have to wrap this up. Listen, next week.
Drinkability.
Next week, we are at Ben's Next Door.
Yes, we are.
We want to encourage everyone listening to join us. I am trying very hard to get a member of Congress to join us as well. 1213 U Street, next door to Ben's
Next Door.
Will
that member of Congress go out in the streets and march with us?
You're going to have to ask.
Might be a little cold for that. I don't know if I'm marching in the cold, buddy.
If you want to find Garland, if they want to find you real quick, how can they?
Facebook me or garlandin@gmail.com.
And Terry, if they want to find you.
Oh, just find me with WPFW.org or raucouscaucus@gmail.com.
If you want to find me, Mark Levine, there's a Mark Levine fan page on Facebook. And also, I'm actually arguing with Bill O'Reilly on this very point on Fox, so you'll have to check that out tonight.